Whenever you're ready. You ready? Yeah. All right. So how did you get in the business, and what led you to the business?
Sean, when I was about 13, I remember seeing a disc jockey introduce a band at Lakeside Shopping Center Mall. And I don't know what it was about that moment, but I thought, that's really cool. I want to do what that guy does. Now, I was about 13, so obviously I didn't have any idea how to do it. I guess a lot of people would sing along the songs in the car. I used to study disc jockeys. I used to imitate the way they talked, what they said and how they said it. And sometimes I would bug the hell out of my friends by pretending to be a disc jockey in the car. And then it kind of got to the point where some of my friends said, you know, you really should do this for a living. And my dad was a skywriter at part-time. This was a part-time fun thing. And there was a radio show, the Bob Ruby Show on WWL AM. And my dad skywrote Mornings on Ruby over the city of New Orleans while he was on the air. In Billingham, my dad went down to the station, and it just so happened to be the same day that Bob had to fire his producer. And he said, do you know any 17, 18-year-olds who are responsible and dependable and can be here every morning at 6 o'clock? He referred me, and I got the job, and that was my first job in radio. And I knew at that point that I wanted to be in the business, but I really wasn't a producer. I mean, at that point, I was just, technically I was a producer, but I was just getting his coffee, reading the newspaper, and answering his phone. And then I had to get experience on the air. So I got a part-time job Saturday mornings in Mobile. I used to drive 3.5 hours to Mobile, do a show from 6 a.m. to noon to get experience on the air. I mean, I didn't know anything. I don't even know how I got that job, but I convinced somebody to have faith in me and give me a shot, and they did. And I did that for, it was $2 an hour, so I did that for 12 bucks. And that's how I started in the business.
With consolidation, what would you tell a young broadcaster today on, because it was a different experience back when you first started out.
Yeah.
What tips would you give this young broadcasters?
The first reaction might be, don't get in the business, but I'm not gonna do that because it's still a great business and it has changed a lot, but it's still a great business. I accept it for what it is. It's quite different from the past. I'm not saying it's better, but I accept it for what it is. I think the method of getting in the business is still the same. The first thing that you have to have on your resume is passion, and the second thing is desire to do it. And you have to be willing to start at the very bottom. You have to be willing to just hang around people in the business, and hang around the business in order to put yourself in a position to be hired. You just have to find what, you have to do whatever it takes, intern, whatever it takes to get in the door, and there's no set way to do it. And it's not necessarily about, you don't need a formal education, but taking this course certainly gives you not only experience, but it also gives you something to put on your resume.
I don't know if you've had any experience as program directors that you look for since you started out in the business like that and didn't go to broadcasting school. Does that appeal more to you, that individuals worked in the trenches, so to speak? With, when I say work in the trenches, you know, not do the traditional, okay, well, I went 4 years of college and then I applied to you.
I don't judge who the program director is based on his, or in some cases, her education. I judge them based on what I think their talent is. And you know, I've worked for some really, really very talented program directors, and I think probably the great majority of them did not go to college. And maybe they didn't even take a course in it. There's so many different paths to get in the business that you just have to kind of look for that opportunity. I mean, there's no set way. You just have to be relentless with it and just never give up and realize that it only takes one person to give you that first job.
With the adventation of the internet and internet radio, you as an experienced broadcaster, have you ever thought about going into that field? I know a lot of young broadcasters are kind of looking at as a possible way of the future, because radio is kind of, we're just going to say, it's kind of shaky at the moment. But have you thought about it as being an experienced broadcaster?
Well, you know, we do podcasting at WWL, so we're already very involved in our internet and our website, WWL.com. And, I mean, there are a lot of people who listen to the show, and they're listening on their phones. They're listening, they're streaming online. So, you know, when it comes to that point where, you know, if indeed radio totally fades and it's all internet, well, then we'll be ready to go. But, you know, Sean, there was a... You know, when MTV first went on the air in 1981, there were people who were saying, this is the end of radio. This is going to kill radio. In fact, the very first video ever played on MTV was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. And so the whole idea was, oh my God, if people can get their music and video, they're not going to want to listen to it on the radio. That didn't happen. Radio was still very, very popular after MTV. In fact, MTV actually enhanced radio. There was talk when television first came out, oh my God, this is the end of radio. Nothing has replaced radio, and I don't think it's going to be replaced today. The technology from which you get a radio show and programming and content might change, but it's still going to be radio.
Some people, fellow broadcasters, Tom Likas, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he's quoted radio as being a fossil. Would you agree with that, or would you disagree?
I disagree, because it's evolved. Tom Likas is one of those guys who... I don't know him, I just know of him, and I've heard his shows on and off over the years, and, you know, I mean, he seems like just kind of an individual who might just have a, you know, a bitter negative view of radio, and I don't know why, because I don't know the guy, but let me just respond to what he said. No, radio's not a fossil, it's evolving, and again, it might not be, even though it will change if it's on the internet, it's still radio the way we know it. It's still going to be shows, it's still going to be content, it's still going to essentially be the same. Whether you get it from your phone in the car or you get it from the radio in your car, you're still going to listen to radio, what we know as radio.
With broadcasting school, I know you didn't do it. Do you think some of them are good? Some of the programs are effective? I know with my experience of learning under you through a broadcasting school, do you think some of them have their advantages, some of them have their disadvantages?
Obviously. I don't know about many of them, so I don't know how many are. I'm sure there are many that are ripoffs. I worked for a station years ago, early in my career in New Orleans, and they had a broadcasting school. And it was a joke. I didn't go to it. I didn't go to it because I just didn't have the opportunity to go to. I was already in the business at that point, but if I would have had the opportunity to go to a broadcasting school, I would have looked to do that. I would have done that to get experience and to get knowledge. And I've seen how you progress, and I've seen this this program work, and the BMG program is obviously very effective because I've seen the progress that you've made.
For younger broadcasters, would you have any particular advice on? I mean, I know we've covered that a little bit earlier, but any other ways? Like, because I know things have changed dramatically, and it's a difficult world in a lot of individuals. I mean, ever since Citadel went out of business, and jobs are getting harder and harder. I mean, is there any kind of way you can just stand out?
Well, you know, there was never a time when people just, you know, opened the door and said, if you've got a pulse, we're going to put you on the radio. You know, I mean, there was never a time when people could just get in. I mean, you still had to work your way into radio. Yes, there's been a lot of consolidation, and so there may be fewer jobs, but I don't think there are fewer radio stations. And so there's still opportunities. I mean, this was never an industry that employed the most people in the United States, so it was always a very select industry. And there was no, again, there's no set way to get. I mean, if you were young, study, pay attention. I mean, the good thing about a young broadcaster is you can listen to different radio stations all around the country on your phone. I mean, I remember when I was just getting in the business, I used to listen to WLS in Chicago. It was a 50,000-watt station. I would listen to them at night. And that was my mentor. I mean, you can tune in to news stations, talk stations. You can tune into any kind of station in New Orleans or anywhere around the country, and you can study what they do. They're doing it like they're not doing it behind closed doors. They are your teachers. They're your professors. I mean, you can just pick the good ones, pick the ones you like that you relate to, and listen to them. So, and take the knowledge that you've gotten from the BMG course, and then apply it as you listen. And I've seen you progress in so many ways, and one of them has been understanding what you're listening to. And the more you understand what you're listening to, the more you can pick up on it and adapt it to, you know, ultimately your own style. But, you know, there are a lot of businesses that are not easy to get into, and radio's one of them. But, I mean, I would never let anybody discourage me today. In fact, one of the benefits is podcasting. You can literally, if Justin Bieber and if some big performers started off on YouTube, then this is the reason why somebody very talented can't start off doing their own radio show. You get not only the practice, but I mean, that's what in the past was an audition tape. You know, you've got a chance for people to tune in and hear you. I mean, I had to find a place, if I wanted to be on the air somewhere, I had to find a place where I would I'd get access to a studio. You don't need access to a studio. Your computer is your studio. And you can do a radio show, and you can send it to people. You can have people tune into it. So it's an instant way to develop a show and also to promote yourself to programmers.
Who were your mentors when you first started out?
A guy named Don Imus, who is still on Fox News, Fox Business News. Don Imus was one of my idols. I didn't have a mentor per se. I learned from people around me, but nobody sat down with me and taught me anything. But I learned from people around me. Bob Ruby, I learned from him. I learned from people that I watched in the business and that I was around in the business very early in my career. Larry Lujan, Bill Bailey. I used to listen to these guys at night on WLS in Chicago, and these guys were my heroes. They had such great voices that I really never thought that I would make it in the business because I didn't have that kind of voice. But, so when people tell me, I love your voice today, it's like, wow. I mean, I think of all the times that I hated my voice and didn't even want to be in the business or didn't even think I would make it because I didn't have what I considered at the time to be a classic radio voice. That is really not important today. It was more important when music jocks were music jocks in the 60s and I guess into the 70s, but that's not even important now.
Do you think the voice matters? Difference in voices with traditional radio voice would be, does it sound like this or sound like this? I mean, does voice really matter anymore?
No, it doesn't. It's more about being relatable, being a character, being recognizable. You know, you need to have a comfortable voice. You need to be, I mean, because people are letting you into their car. People are letting you into their homes, into their offices, through their computers. So you have to have a comfortable presence on the air, and part of that is voice. But that doesn't mean that you have to have a certain kind of voice, and you don't have to have a typical, what was known in the days as a radio voice. You don't have to have that anymore. That just doesn't even matter. It's really about having a comfortable presence in the same way that, you know, it's not that you have to be really great looking to be on TV, but you have to have a look that is appealing, and maybe it's appealing in somewhat of a quirky way. It's something that gets people's attention, and that would be the best way I would describe voices in radio.
Would you consider radio to be a boys' club?
Technically, it's not. But yes, it is. It's not a boys' club in terms of discrimination. It's a boys' club in terms of just whether it's just because of the way it is or what. I mean, if I don't hire people, I don't know. But I can listen around and see that there are more men in talk radio than women. But there are a lot of women in talk radio as well. It's probably more even in music radio A lot of female voices are on the air. So I don't know of it being discriminating. I mean, this is...
Let me rephrase that. Boys club, what I mean, in terms of a boys club, just with close-knit community type aspect, in terms of, female broadcasters, male broadcasters, different ethnicities, just kind of a close-knit community. That's what I mean by boys club.
Okay, yeah. Very much so, although I was never part of that, and I'm still not to this day. The only time that I was part of that was recently, a program director who I'd worked for at three different stations around the country was killed in a car accident, and there was a celebration of life service at his church, and there were all, it was really good to get together with a lot of radio people that I'd worked with years ago and that I've known. And to talk and to share stories and to talk about Nick. But yes, there's a lot of, it's, if you're in radio, you're in a very select business, and there's such a common denominator that those who work in radio do have this immediate bond with other people in radio. Admittedly, I have been kind of reclusive in the business, but I do see the cliques, and I do see the club mentality.
So would you say that you're like the James Dean of radio, rebel without a cause?
Well, I think I have a cause. So let's say I'm a rebel with a cause.
Okay. That's all I got right for the top of my head. So, but thank you for the interview.
Great interview. You're really good at this. I mean, you're really good at it.